Well, I like that new song, so hopefully we can sing that more. It was good. Well, please turn with me in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20, we're continuing our expositional series through the book of Exodus and specifically looking at the Ten Commandments. And this afternoon we'll be studying the third commandment. So Exodus chapter 20, the third commandment is found in verse 7. So Exodus chapter 20, verse 7, hear the word of the Lord. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Praise God for his word. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you to hallow your name, to exalt your name, and to praise you. Father, we pray that as we study your third commandment this afternoon, Father, that you would cause us to worship you in our speech and in our hearts in a reverential way, that we would see you for who you are and appropriately respond to you in worship and in reverence and in adoration. Pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. So we've now come to the third commandment. Do you remember the first four commandments are the first table of the law, and they're all related to loving God, to worshiping Him. The first commandment answered the question, who are we to worship? The answer is the one true God, Yahweh. The second commandment answered the question, how are we to worship Him? If you remember, the answer was, we worship Him the way He has appointed in His Word. Now we come to the third commandment. What question does this commandment answer? It answers this question. In what manner or attitude are we to worship God? Really, the second commandment and third commandment are answering a similar question. But the second one is on the how. It's really the nuts and bolts of worshiping God, you could say. But the third commandment is on the how, but has more of an emphasis on the manner and attitude in which we approach the Lord. The answer taught in the third commandment is this. You are to approach God in speech and in heart with reverence. And this is the main point of our sermon this morning, that God commands us to approach Him in speech and in heart with holy reverence. The sermon will divide it into two parts. We'll first look at what this command teaches by looking at what it forbids and requires. And then secondly, we'll look at the threat that's connected to this command. So we'll look at the command and then the threat. So first, let's look at the command. Now, as you may notice, well, first it's the command and then the threat. But before we look at this command, you may have noticed the plan is to cover this entire commandment in one sermon. Now, for the first two commandments, it took us two sermons to cover each commandment. My plan was to cover this one in two commandments. But as I studied through in the Lord's providence, we can fit it all nicely and address most of the most important things in one sermon. I mentioned this just to say I don't think the third commandment is less important than the first commandment. And I'm not doing one sermon on this and two sermons on others because I think it's less important. It's just after studying it, it's easy to cover it in one sermon. So with that said, let's look at the third commandment. First, let's look at the command. This is found in verse 7, the beginning of verse 7. Here is the command. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. The third commandment has to do with the name of God. For we're commanded not to take His name in vain. God's name is important. It's important to Himself, which makes sense for we believe names are important. Think of Luke and Joy this week. Lord willing, Keith and Kim early this week. You think about what's one of the first duties as a parent. What's one of the first duties as a parent? It's to name their children, right? To name their children. It's important. Whatever name you give them, they'll have for the rest of their lives. And one thing that is certain is that the parents do the naming. Human beings do not name themselves. No one in here is the one who named themselves when they came out of their mother's womb and said, I want to be named so-and-so. No, our full names are given. They're not chosen. And it's really an act of authority of our parents to give us a name. Naming a child is one of the first ways parents exercise their God-given authority. And one of the remarkable things as we come to God here, and specifically on this command, as we think about it, is that no one ever named God. Have you thought of that? No one ever named God. Some people have tried to, and they've given them false names. But God's true name was one that He chose to reveal to us. Right? We do not tell God who He is. He tells us who He is. God has His own naming rights, and that's a sign of His sovereign authority. God's name comes before every other name, for His name is above all other names. And this third commandment is about the name of God. It's about defending the honor of God's great name. Now, what's interesting about this third commandment that makes it different from the other two is that God here refers to Himself in the third person for the first time. He doesn't say I or me like He did in the first two commandments. Instead, He refers to Himself in the third person. He says, the Lord your God. As we take a step back, why does God refer to Himself in the third person here in the third commandment? There's a reason for it. God is calling attention to His special covenantal name of Yahweh, of Lord. Paul, in your English translations, Lord there is capitalized. It's all capital letters. It's His covenantal name of Yahweh. God's name, Yahweh, was a name in which God revealed a long time before Mount Sinai. We looked at it in the book of Exodus. It goes back to the burning bush, Exodus chapter 3. And there God revealed His name to Moses saying this, I am who I am, meaning Yahweh. And He said this, say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say this to the people of Israel, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations. This was God's personal name, Yahweh. It's described by scholars, you probably heard this term, but the Tetragrammaton, because in Hebrew, God's name is four letters. Think of the Yod, or what we would say the Y, a He or a H, and then a Vav and another He. But those are the four letters that make up God's personal name of Yahweh. It literally means I am who I am. Now we unpacked the meaning of God's name when we looked at it in Exodus chapter 3. So I don't want to preach that sermon again. But let me quickly remind you of those key characteristics tied to God's name. It speaks about His self-existence, His self-sufficiency, and His supreme sovereignty. And as the book of Exodus unfolds, we'll see that Yahweh stands for Him being the covenantal God of His people, the one who will answer the cries of His people. He's the one who will save them, bring them out of bondage in Egypt. That is Yahweh. Now, what we learn when we consider the great and holy name of God is this, that God's name is His identity. His name is tied to His being and His character. They are one and the same. When we think of God's name, it's not simply just a label we're putting on Him. No, it's a name that He's had, that He's telling us is His name, and it's tied to His person. His name refers to His essence and His divine being. So when you think of God's name, don't just think of a label that we're putting upon God. Think about when we think of God's name, think of God Himself, His character, His being, His essence. So now we've seen the importance of God's name and it being inseparable to His being, I want us to now look at the command itself. Like the other commandments, we're going to look at what this command forbids and what this command requires of us. Let's first look at what this command forbids. Well, it forbids not taking the name of the Lord your God in vain. So it forbids the misuse of God's name. Now, one thing I want to note here that's important to note that some people have gotten confused on is that this command is not forbidding the use of His name completely. And there are actually some Jewish sects for sure, but then also some Christian sects that will not even mention the name of God because they think it's breaking the third commandment. But that's not the case. It's the misuse of God's name, not just the use of God's name. And we see this throughout the Bible. I mean, God's name is mentioned time after time. It's lifted up high. It's exalted. It's on the lips of His people in praises. It's on the lips of His people in repentance. God wants us to use His name. Okay? His name is mentioned, one scholar I saw said, over 7,000 times in the Old Testament. Now, I didn't fact check him on that, but I'm going to believe that he's true. Over 7,000 times in the Old Testament. He gave us His personal name. Why did He give us His personal name other than so we can address Him personally as His people? Calling Him by name is not what's wrong. Calling Him by His name actually strengthens our relationship to Him. Right? When we know someone's personal name, when they tell us their name, they want us to call them by that name. So it's not God's name we're to try to avoid, but the misuse of His name. That's what we need to avoid. Now, here's the question. How do we misuse the Lord's name? The command specifically mentions this. We should not take His name in vain. The word translated for vain means empty, it can mean worthless, or without purpose. We're not to use His name in an irreverent way. We're not to speak about Him in careless, thoughtless, or even flippant ways. We're not to talk about God in a way that treats Him as if He doesn't matter or that He's insignificant. That all falls under the category of vain. To do that is to dishonor God's name. And when you dishonor God's name, you're dishonoring God Himself. When we take His name in vain, we're denigrating His holiness. Right? So by taking His name in vain, we're saying to God that you are worthless and not important. That's how serious this third commandment is. And as we'll see, there's a threat tied to it for that very reason. Now, there's many different ways we could classify that which is forbidden in the third commandment. But the best classification I came across while studying on this passage was one given by Kevin D. Young. He authored a book called The Ten Commandments. We actually have many copies in our book room of it. The plan was really to have that book to go through in our small group starting in March, I believe, and then 2020 happened, and we haven't used those books. But there's many of those copies of the books in the book room. It's on the Ten Commandments, and his chapter specifically on the third commandment is great, specifically on how he labels what's forbidden in the third commandment. And I've used his labeling to help us. So it's a really good book, and there's copies of it downstairs if you want it. But he explains three ways of taking the name of the Lord in vain. And these are the three ways, and these are the three ways we'll go by. Taking His name in service of what is false, taking His name in service of what is frivolous, and taking His name in service of what is phony. Those are three ways of thinking of taking the Lord's name in vain. You can do it by connecting His name to something that is false. That would be taking His name in vain. You can do it by connecting His name to something that is frivolous and connecting His name to that which is phony. So I want us to look at each of these and look at the application of each of these in our own lives and know exactly what it means to take the Lord's name in vain. So first, this command forbids the use of God's name in service of what is false. We are forbidden to attach God's holy name to that which is false, to that which is a lie. If we do that, we're breaking the third commandment. One of the ways the Bible describes this way of taking the Lord's name in vain is that of false oaths. God says this in Leviticus 19:12. He says, "You shall not swear by my name falsely, and so profane the name of your God. I am the Lord." So we are not to swear by God's name and swear it upon a lie. This is profaning His holy name. This is breaking the third commandment. This is perjury. Perjury is not only a crime, but perjury is a sin. Swearing false oaths is a sin. It's the breaking of the third commandment. Now, most people know this to be sin. However, there are more conspicuous ways in which we use God's name in service of that which is false that sometimes seems innocuous to us. It's not just false oaths, but let me give you another example of ways we can tie God's holy name to that which is false. Think about when someone says, "The Lord told me to do this." Have you heard someone say that before? Or even worse, "The Lord told me to tell you to do this, right? But the act of attributing God to something in which he did not say, and to specifically a false prophecy, is sin. That's sin. That's tying the Lord's name to that which is false. It's not just false oaths, but even tying it to false prophecies or things he has not said. Another application of breaking the third commandment can be by way of believing and teaching false doctrine. Now, stay with me on this one. Remember, God's name is connected to his being and his identity. It's not simply what we speak about God, but also our thoughts and our hearts and beliefs towards God. Believing false things about God is a sin. Believing and teaching that God false things about God is a sin. If you were to teach and to believe that God is not triune, that he's not one God in three persons, you're tying his name to that which is false. Teaching that God is not just, that God is not holy, or that he's not all-knowing, that's breaking the third commandment. You're tying God's name to something that is false. Now, this clearly includes cursing God's name, which is an affront to his holiness for sure. When you curse God's name, you're attributing that which is false to him. All of our words, all of our thoughts about God must be tied to the truth. That's one application of the third commandment. Everything, truth regarding his name, his being, his attributes, his works, all of those things. Think about it this way. For you, it would be dishonoring your friend if you characterized him in an untrue way, in a false way. How much more so if you do that before the Lord your God? If you do that to the Lord Almighty, the sovereign of sovereigns. So the third commandment forbids using God's name in service of what is false, whether false oaths, false prophecies, false theology, cursing, whatever the case may be. So that's one way, connecting God's holy name to that which is false. That's breaking, that's using his name in vain. The second way, the second way that the third commandment forbids us using God's name is in service of that which is frivolous. And that really kind of thinks of the name of vain, of vanity. Frivolous is that which is empty or worthless. Now, this is one of the most common applications of the third commandment today. The third commandment forbids us to use God's holy name in flippant ways. For example, when you yell his name, his holy name, when you stump your toe, or when you're surprised by a great gift and you yell his name. That is breaking the third commandment. That's not just a mistake. It's not a slip of a tongue. It is breaking the third commandment when we use his name in frivolous ways. When we use his name as expressions of shock, outrage, or anger rather than worship and adoration. That is sin, brothers and sisters. That should not come from the mouth of Christ's followers. It's not something we should support or encourage or tolerate. These are not innocent sins, for there are no innocent sins. There's only sin against the thrice holy God. Now, also under this heading of God's name in a frivolous way or taking God's name in a frivolous way, we can add lighthearted joking about him and about his ways. God's name should never be used in a punchline for any sort of joke, whether Christian-related joke or not. There is a way in which we can break this commandment by attaching God's name to frivolity without speaking his name. It's when we think about God in such a way in which we approach him in worship in careless ways as well. It's coming to the Lord's worship. We could even break the third commandment here this afternoon if we're coming to him in worship and our minds are filled with thoughts of what we're going to do later today or work next week and it's not filled with praises. That is coming to the Lord in a manner of worship that's frivolous. See, this command is not simply about our words, but our manner, our attitude when we come to the Lord. It's more than our speech. It's our entire posture towards God himself. Our posture to him right now, this afternoon. How are we, what is our manner to the Lord right now? What's filling our mind and hearts? Are we anticipating to hear from God in his word? Are we thinking through the application of his word, or are we thinking of something else? Again, you could be breaking the third commandment right now by daydreaming about some gift for Christmas or something like that, rather than desiring to listening to God's word. For by thinking of frivolous things in worship, we're saying to God that you don't matter. These other things are more important. That I can't even give you an hour or a few hours out of my day of attention. You're saying to God that he's not significant, that his worship is not significant in your life, that your Christmas gift is more important than him, that other things need more attention of your thoughts rather than him, the King of glory. Now, an example on a very much smaller scale is if we were asked to come before the Queen of England. Let's say you're invited to come before the Queen of England. And when you go into her throne room to meet her, to have her as an audience, you go in and you have your phone and you're playing some games. What would that say to the Queen of England? If you walk into the throne room, having her as an audience and you're on your phone playing silly games instead of talking to her. That would offend her, would it not? Now, that's a small scale compared to our approach to God. Right? When we approach God and not focus on him in worship and in other ways, and when we think about him, when we think about him in frivolous ways, that is way worse than offending the Queen of England. It's offending the thrice holy God who created all things. That's the breaking of the third commandment. So that's two ways that we can break the third commandment. It's tying God's name to that which is false, tying God's name to that which is frivolous, and then the last one is tying God's name to that which is phony. This is when we say things concerning God that may be true. It may not even be done in a frivolous manner, but it's not meant from the heart. It's fake. The perfect example of this, especially in the last season we've been in, is with politicians. Right? When they mention the name of God in their speech to advance some sort of agenda, they may be saying something true about God, and they may even be saying it in a serious way, but it's not done out of worship or reverence. It's done out of selfish reasons. Right? When we invoke God's holy name, it better be out of worship. It better be for no individual selfish gain. The only reason his name should come out from our mouth, his name in our thoughts, would be for his glory, not for ours. When we evoke his name for our selfish gain, that is breaking the third commandment. That's dishonoring his holy name. Other examples is when we sometimes use certain cliche Christian phrases without truly meaning them. Right? They may be true and we may be saying them in a serious manner, but we're only saying it because of out of tradition or trite response. It's not out of a heart of worship. We must be careful not to do that, for that would be breaking the third commandment. For example, if you say, praise the Lord. Well, when you say, praise the Lord, are you really meaning praise the Lord, praise Yahweh? Or when you say, thank you, God, are you really saying, thank you, God? Right? These cliche phrases we use, they can't be used in phony ways. That would be breaking the third commandment. Be careful when you invoke God's holy name. When you do so, it must be real, genuine, not phony. One last application of what God forbids in this commandment is seen especially in this holiday season. We're coming up on it now in our culture. I didn't know whether to put this illustration under false, frivolous, or phony, because I think we get all three of them at Christmas time. Right, we must not treat God's holy name lightly, even in service of Christmas season, of celebrating Christ's birth, and especially not at those times. There are many profane ways in which God is spoken about and mentioned during this season that is false, that's frivolous, and that's phony. And we must be careful. We must not include ourselves in those conversations. We must not talk about God in this Christmas season in any false, frivolous, or phony ways. Be careful not to fall into that trap during this season. And that just makes me think of whatever our culture says, whatever the expectations of our culture, especially when it comes to the third commandment, because this is the one that's probably, I mean, really all of these are maligned by our culture. But this is one that is really belittled, that you find in every movie, that people say that they don't see it as a big deal. And it's not what we don't need to follow culture on those things. We must follow God's word. We must reverence God's holy name, and especially in this season. So as we think of what this third commandment forbids, I know I went through it probably pretty quickly, but it forbids us taking God's name in vain, which means in service of that which is false, in service of that which is frivolous or phony. So hopefully that helps you understand what this commandment forbids, and it really convicts us to approach Him and His name with reverence rather than vanity. Now that's what the third commandment forbids. What does it require us? What does the third commandment require us to do? Well, it requires us to take God and His name seriously by revering Him, by honoring Him. This is the purpose of this commandment, to hallow the majestic, holy, great name of God. We should be zealous to honor His name with respect and reverence. It makes me think of the first petition in the Lord's Prayer. Hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be your name. Do you know what it means to hallow someone's name? It's to consecrate it, to set it apart for holy use. Every time the thought of God comes to your mind, when His name comes off of your lips, it should be only used for sacred purposes. That's one way to think of the third commandment. Anytime you think, speak, approach God in all those ways, it must be for sacred, holy purposes, not for any other purposes. Every time you think in your heart and mind, it should be for a holy purpose. Every time you speak His name, speak His doctrine, theology, it should be for holy purposes. For He is holy, holy, holy. As application, the way to use God's name properly are really endless. I mean, go back to those 7,000 ways in the Old Testament His name is used alone, and you can see proper ways of using His name. There's hundreds and hundreds of ways in the New Testament. So don't be afraid to use God's name. This command actually encourages you to use it properly. Martin Luther said this of the third commandment. He said, "To honor God's name is to use that very name every time of need to call on, to pray to praise, and to give thanks to." And I love that. He says, yeah, you need to be using the name of God. You don't use it enough. You need to be using it to call on Him, to pray to Him, to praise Him, to give thanks to Him. If this command sounds too restricting, then you're viewing it wrongly. It's freeing. It's freeing to us to use God's name more, to use it rightly in worship, to go to Him more than you're doing so right now. Think on Him more throughout the week, brothers and sisters. Don't avoid God. Run to Him. Think on Him. Speak of Him. Why would God want you to avoid Him if He revealed to you His personal name? He doesn't want you to do that. Come to Him. I mean, one of the best places to go to see how to reverence God's name is the Bible. And specifically, I just looked in the book of Psalms for a few, and there's just a whole host of ways in which God's name is revered in the book of Psalms. So if you don't want to start with the whole Bible, go to the book of Psalms and go through times in which God's name is mentioned and see how it's mentioned and how it's used. And that will instruct us on how to keep this third commandment. I'll give you a few. I didn't write down the specific Psalms, but I'll give you some of the quotes from some of the verses. One, ascribe to the Lord the glory due to His name. Ascribe to Him glory. There's one way when we use His name, how to use it properly. Sing the glory of His name. Give to Him glorious praise. One way is to sing from our hearts. What we do when we gather together. You know, one way we can break the third commandment is by singing words and singing God's name, not from a heart of worship. So that's one way we can break the, because that would be the phony aspect. But instead, when we come together, we sing God's name truly out of worship. So singing His name. Blessed be His glorious name forever. Bless His name. Another passage. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Other parts of the Bible tell us this. Call upon the name of the Lord. Trust in the name of the Lord. Whatever you do in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. I could go on and on, but you can get to the picture. You can reverence God's name in many ways by praising Him, worshiping Him, adoring Him, by honoring, blessing, celebrating Him. I mean, really think of the opposite of the three ways we just looked at that were forbidden. Instead of tying His name to that which is false, the way you can honor His name is tying His name to that which is true. Speak truth about God's name. Right? One of the best ways to honor God's name is to know His word, to know Him, and speak about Him to others. Right? What better way to show off the glory, the majesty of God than telling others about His glory and majesty? By telling others about the good news of Jesus, the gospel. So don't use His name flippantly. Instead, seriously and soberly. Use it in a worshipful manner. Think upon God's works and His glory. Think of what He's done in your own life. That's one way we can honor God in His thoughts, is by thinking about what He's done in our life and rejoicing in that. Excuse me. Call upon Him to help you, to save you, to strengthen you, to sanctify you. Use His name in a genuine, sincere way, not a phony way. Truly go to Him in worship, seeking Him out, seeking His truth, seeking His face, seeking His glory. Now, I love the answer that the Baptist Catechism gives on what is required of the third commandment. This is the answer. The third commandment requires the holy and reverent use of God's names, God's titles, God's attributes, God's ordinances, God's word, and God's works. I love that. His names, titles, attributes, ordinances, word, works. Anything attached to the person or work of God, we are to revere and use in a holy way. Fill your thoughts, your speech with God's names, with God's titles, with God's attributes, ordinances, word, and works. And there's just no shortage of ways to honor and revere God's name. If you think about it, if your mind is filled with the truth of who God is, then you won't attach His name to what is false, because you'll know the truth. You won't be tricked by those things. You won't tie His name to what is frivolous, because when you come to God's word and see His holiness, you won't treat Him that way. And you won't treat Him phony, for it's in God's word He can change your heart. So fill your words and your thoughts with God's word. And I mentioned this earlier, but I'll just mention it one other time. For this Christmas season, the best way we can keep the third commandment is to tell other people about Jesus. I mean, that is a direct application. We use God's name properly in its right way and tell others about the saving power in the name of the Lord Jesus. You tell them about the reason for the season. You tell them about what we celebrate at Christmas. It's not the trees. It's not the gifts. It's not little baby. It is the Lord Jesus, the incarnate Son of God, coming to be born, to live the life that we could not live, to die the death on the cross for us, to rise 3 days later. That is the best way to keep the third commandment this holiday season. Tell your family, tell everybody about Christ and about what Christmas is about. So again, maybe the rest of today, this would be great to talk around the dinner table or with others about ways in which you can honor God's name. And think through those ways to bless His name. Now the third commandment has a threat connected to it. It's at the end of verse 7. The Bible says this, God says this, "For the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain." Here God threatens those who take his name in vain, that they will be held accountable and guilty for doing so. Here's the thing. God hears everything we say. God knows everything we think. He knows exactly when we break the third commandment. He knows exactly when we take his name in vain, and he will hold us accountable for that sin. Not mistake, but sin. It doesn't matter what our culture thinks. It doesn't matter if our culture thinks it's completely fine or if our culture encourages it. It doesn't matter if your friends think it's right and good. All that matters is what God says, because what he says is true, and if you break it, you still will be held accountable to it, even if you don't think it's a big deal or a sin. This is the serious nature in which God takes the honor and respect of His name. If you take this commandment lightly, then you are mistaken big time. For there are examples after examples in Scripture of God's punishment of those who take His name in vain and don't honor it. Let me just give you a few. Now, well, before I give you a few, you may be thinking, that's maybe too much. Well, let me give you those examples and then we'll consider them. First, Leviticus chapter 24, verse 16. The Bible says this: "Whoever blasphemes the name of the Lord will surely be put to death. All the congregation should stone him. The sojourners as well as the native, when he blasphemes the name, he shall be put to death." Now, that's death as punishment. Now, this is application within the civil law of Israel, but it shows the seriousness in which God takes in honoring His name. Again, we might look at that and think, whoa, so a guy blasphemes God's name, he breaks the third commandment, and he's ordered to be death by stoning by the community? That's a little too much. That's going too far for God to do such a thing. The man might have had a slip of tongue to God's name and he's stoned. Is it really that bad? Well, the answer is yes. Yes, it is. That's why it's worthy of death by punishment in those civil laws. Breaking this commandment alone is worthy of eternal punishment of God in hell. That's not civil laws. You break this commandment, you break any of God's commandment, you sin, you are deserving of hell. You break this commandment, you do not honor God's name, you're deserving of His punishment. Now, to help you think of the serious nature of this, think about the things in which we get angry about. Think about if someone disrespects your spouse or your child in front of you. They do it so in public. How would you respond? Do you get angry? I mean, I know growing up, one of the worst things you could say in our neighborhood was something bad about someone's mama, right? Right when those were fighting words, right? If someone said anything about your mama that was disrespectful, you'd be ready to fight them. Why? Well, you're trying to fight for the honor of this beloved family member because you love them. Their honor, their respect is worth it to you to get in the fight with another person over. Well, if we get angry about people disrespecting our spouse, our children, our friend, let's say our church, whatever the case may be, things that we appreciate and respect, how much more so than God's holy name? How much more so? If it angers us if someone disrespects our spouse, how much more so should it anger us if someone disrespects God, God's name? And if we don't get angry from that, and only angry with family members or friends, then we know where our heart is. What do we love the most? Who do we respect the most? Maybe it's our family. Maybe it's not God. We don't care about His name. We don't want to defend His name in public. Now I want to close with one more story in the Bible about those who break the third commandment. This one is in the New Testament. It's in the book of Acts. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19, this is the story of the seven sons of Sceva. Acts chapter 19. The Apostle Paul, he meets these men on his first missionary journey to Ephesus. Shortly after arriving, the Lord is saving many people in Ephesus through the Apostle Paul's preaching. He's baptizing many. I mean, ultimately the church of Ephesus will come out of this. And while there, he is performing some mighty miracles. And you can read about that in Acts chapter 19. Well, then there's these seven sons of Sceva. And they see Paul from afar. They see him performing these miracles. And they start looking at him. They start studying him carefully. It's like, okay, he's doing this, he's doing that. Okay. And then they come to the astute conclusion at the very end that every time the Apostle Paul does a miracle, he says, "In the name of the Lord Jesus." Every time. So they all get together thinking about it, like, well, maybe that is what you have to do to perform miracles. You say the name of the Lord Jesus, and there you go. So they figured there is something powerful in the very name of Jesus. They figured if Paul could use his name to heal others, maybe we could too. They wanted to use the name of Jesus. They saw it as powerful. They wanted to use the name of God. But their desire was so that they could work their own wonders for their own advantage. Well, it didn't go well. It didn't go as planned for them. We're told they come to this man who's demon-possessed. Y'all probably know the story. It's in Acts chapter 19. They come to him and they tell him. They try to heal him. You know, they all come up to him like, Jesus' name, get the demon out. Well, Brother Earl, demons, add the technology right there. No. Gets us every time. No. But he goes to the demon-possessed man, and they're saying, in Jesus' name, they're trying to get him out, and they want everybody to like them because they're performing this miracle. Well, do y'all know how the demon-possessed man responds? He says, Jesus, I know. Paul, I recognize. But who are you? Right? I know Jesus. I recognize Paul, but who are you? And then the demon-possessed man then jumps on these seven brothers, beats them up very badly, so badly the Bible says they run away naked and wounded. Okay? I'm pretty sure they had their clothes on when they went to the fight, and then after the fight, they're all running away naked and wounded. Okay? So they just got a butt whooping from this demon-possessed man. So to understand this story, all you need to know is the third commandment. The seven sons of Sceva used the name of the Lord, the name of Jesus, in vain. They used it for their personal advantage. And by doing so, God held them guilty and let them get that beating that they deserved from this demon-possessed man. Now, my favorite part of this story is verse 17. This is the end of it, where the Bible says this. It says, "And this became known to all the residents of Ephesus, both Jews and Greeks, and fear fell upon them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was extolled." Now, I love that. How the Lord used the sinful sons of Sceva in breaking the third commandment, he used that for his good, for Christ's name to be extolled. And amen. That's the Lord's sovereign will right there. So here's the lesson. Do not break the third commandment. God will hold you guilty. Also, from this passage, it's clear Jesus is God. The one we celebrate this season, his birth, is none other than God in the flesh, God the Son incarnate. Therefore, we break the third commandment when we take Christ's name in vain, because Jesus is God. What's the name above every other name? Jesus. The Bible says, Philippians 2, 10 through 11, that Brother Joseph read for us, "Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father." So let's exalt the name of the Lord, exalt the name of Christ, for one day every knee will bow before him. Bow now instead of bowing later in judgment. Honor Christ's name this afternoon by trusting his word, by obeying it. And this is one thing as we think of the third commandment. We're called Christians here. We're Christians. Now, I know some people, just like Baptists, they don't like any labels, and some people have even gone away from the label of being called a Christian. Why would you want to go against the label of being called a Christian? We should be proud when we talk to people and say, "I am a Christian." Christian is taking all, you know what Christian means is being a bearer of Christ. We're bearing God's name. We are Christians. This is a Christian church. Heritage Baptist Church is bearing the name of Christ. Kevin DeYoung makes a great point at the end of his chapter on this commandment. He says this, I'll quote him. He says, "Among other things, baptism is a naming ceremony. It's where we are marked out as belonging to the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit." And I love that aspect as we think of baptism being brought into God's family. We're baptized in what? In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Baptism is really a naming ceremony. We're identifying ourselves with Christ. We're saying we are Christ's followers. We are Christians. We are bearing the name of Christ. He is our God. He's the one we're following. So therefore, in a way, we break the third commandment when we don't live in a way of honoring Christ's name. Because everybody knows us as Christians and we are Christians. When we don't walk in a manner worthy of the gospel, we are profaning His name. So church, as we think of the third commandment, I mean, main thing is live like Christians. Be Christians. Let's show that His name is the name we value, the name we love, the name that is above all other names. Right? That the most important name is not your last name. The most important name is not the church. The most important name aren't these other names. The most important name is Christ. And that you are bearing His name as a Christian in the way we live. So live Christianly. Trust God. Obey His word. If you do that, you'll be keeping the third commandment. Let's close in prayer.